This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Ready for an awesome episode? Well, so are we. But you know what? Before we get to it, I got to tell you that members of Navy Federal Credit Union could earn more and save more. Bam! Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as our friends at Navy Federal do. Start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit. For example, you could open an Easy Start certificate for just $50. And then how many certificates do this? You can then add money at any time and watch your savings grow. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval.
Live from the Fireside app, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and there's no national holiday today at all. Not one. We're just hanging here with our Friday regulars. You know, and since we're always so serious on this show, we're going to talk about lightening up when it comes to your finances. Coming down to the basement with a cold, we're graced with the presence of Paula Pant. From LenPenzo.com, Bob Wheeler. Nah, just kidding. He'd never come on this show. It's just Len Penzo. And then we have our sunshine and rainbows boy, OG. On today's show, we'll review the top 10 most embarrassing financial topics. Wonder if spending money on back wax is on that list. Oh, well. Then I'll strike with my enlightening trivia. And now, a guy whose financial knowledge is as impressive as the length of his braids, it's Joe Salcihi.
Wouldn't it be great if I could braid both of my hairs on the top of my head? Hey, everybody. Welcome to Friday. Let me be the first one to welcome you. I'm Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And what a weird April Fool's Day it has been because of the fact that, they redesigned this Fireside app. Everybody just sounds a little weird today. Let's say hello first to the guy sitting across the card table from me. It's Mr. OG here. How are you, man?
I'm great. Happy April Fool's Day.
Yes, absolutely. You're looking a little different.
I'm much more handsome for some reason.
Just feeling a little different. And the guy who is deep under Los Angeles with his bunker, in his bunker, it's Mr. Len Penzo's here. How are you, my friend?
I'm alive and breathing and kicking.
Boy, you sound weird today. What's going on, Len?
Well, you know, it's the air. I blame it on the air.
There's so much smog in Los Angeles.
Smog in the bunker.
It just finally filled up the bunker and air quality at an all-time low. And the woman who is a ray of sunshine, who's all over the place, the voice behind Afford Anything, it's Paula Pant.
Hey, Joe. Happy to be here today.
Wow. What happened to you, Paula? Everybody said, what's going on?
Oh, you know, it's the helium. This is what my voice sounds like on helium.
Is that what people tell you all the time, by the way?
Absolutely.
Yes. And as you all can hear, this on our April Fool's Day episode, sadly, we don't have any of the gang here. We have three people who are either comedians involved in comedy or are just people we think is hilarious. And that voice you just heard is not Paula Pant, but it's Gwen Merz. How are you, fiery millennial?
Oh, I am doing just great. I couldn't think of a better cast of people to hang out with on April Fool's.
It's going to be so great.
Wait a minute. That's not a compliment.
Doug saw right through that one.
Tony, your voice, Paula.
It's perfect. I get to hang out with a bunch of fools on April Fool's. Hey-o.
Watch out for that. And that voice that we said is Len Penzo, that's actually the man who's the CFO of the Comedy Store, one of the nation's most premier comedy clubs. Mr. Bob Wheeler's here.
That is me.
Yes, absolutely. And the Funny You Should Ask podcast. Well, the Money You Should Ask podcast.
Funny You Should Say.
Yes. How's the show going, Bob?
It's been great. We've been having some really cool guests.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is so fun to listen to. And the gentleman who is playing the part of OG today, sitting across the card table for real from me, it's actually comedian Paul Olinger.
Hello.
Hey, dude. How are you, really?
I'm very well.
It's fantastic. Thank you for picking me up from
the MARTA station.
MARTA station. Oh. Yes. I got not only the train across town, but I got to have a guy serenade me.
Oh, nice.
Yes, it was good. We got a serenade.
We specialize in serenading here in the ATL.
It was very good. And of course, your podcast is the Crazy Money Podcast.
We're sitting at the headquarters of the Crazy Money Podcast at this moment.
Smells like Crazy Money.
Yes, it does. It does. That's why there's candles that aren't lit right now.
Well, today's going to be super exciting because we're doing a game show episode. These are our favorite episodes. And now we told all three of you, you don't have to prepare because here's what happens today. Well, before we actually get into the, let's do this first. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Stackers, controlling your money on a day-to-day basis comes down to two things. Number one, great communication, either with yourself or with a partner. And by great communication, what do I mean? I mean, sitting down with your app of choice and putting together your strategy based on what you spent the week before. It's super easy, a 20-minute meeting a week. You look through your expenses and then you plot out what are you going to do next week. And you know what? That might seem little, but the big things stem from that. And if you have an app that keeps that in front of you, that helps make it even easier. And the app Cheryl and I use is Monarch Money. We've been using it now for about a year. As you may know, I've used lots of different solutions, and this is by far the one I've stuck with the longest. It helps Cheryl and I collaborate. We can talk about our financial goals. For us, it's travel. We're also adding to our house. We have a goal in a few years to really work on our lawn as well and just make it a pretty place to live. But the travel piece, as you know, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, that's a big one. And what's cool is I can put our financial independence goals and our journey up right next to our budget, because everything at Monarch is very intuitive. It is very customizable. So what the heck is Monarch? You're sitting there wondering to yourself, aren't you? Person I just made up. Yes. Let me tell you what it is. It's an all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you comprehensive view of all your accounts, your investments, your transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track your progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, Stackers, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. Got to have the /Benjamins to get the extended 30-day free trial so you can see that you'll like it as much as I do. How does it work? Well, it's very intuitive. It has a simple, intuitive design that makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can collaborate with your partner, family, or your financial advisor. What's cool is you can invite all these people to your account at no extra cost, so you can collaborate, and everybody gets their own login info, and everybody gets a joint view of your finances. And as I mentioned earlier, it's customizable, and best yet, it's ad-free privacy you can trust. No ads. You're not being marketed. When I had other apps that were free, I got marketed all the time. Well, not only do they not do that, they also don't sell your data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself and using it for about a year now, but on a daily basis, I totally get why it's the top rated personal finance app. And right now, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. That's Monarch Money, monarchmoney.com/Benjamins for your extended 30-day free trial. And now we'll get into it. Let's get ready for our game show. All right, here's the way the game show works, contestants. You're all playing for one of our competitors, Paula, Len, or OG. And this is going to give them a point in their yearly contest to see who gets maybe the ugliest trophy of all personal finance trophies. The score, by the way, going into this, Len has 4. OG and Paula last week tied. And so they have 3.5, 3.5. So it is close, everybody. Now you'll get 1 point in the first round. You'll get 2 points for an answer in the second round and 3 points for an answer in the third round that is correct. So we're going to switch out music. There we go. Here's our 70s game show music. So this piece, the rules of this is we have a piece from US News, top 10 most embarrassing money topics. Now, it doesn't matter if your guess is right or wrong that it's in the top 10, because you're going to have probably a guess that's brilliant knowing the three of you. It just matters whether it's on the list or not. So can you find one of these 10 things that US News calls top 10 most embarrassing money topics? That's what we're doing today. So we're going to go ladies first. Gwen, you get the first chance for a point. What is one of the top 10 most embarrassing money topics on this list?
Paying off debt.
Paying off debt. Do you think it's that people are embarrassed when they pay off debt?
I think people are embarrassed to talk about the debt that they are trying to pay off.
Yeah. Is paying off debt on the list? Bum, bum, bum.
What?
We're doing them manually now. The sound effects are, that's hilarious. They
are, times are tight. He spent a lot of money on his lodging here in Atlanta.
My landlord here is just been brutal. This is what happens when you go on tour. Everybody knows that these tours are a time to take advantage of the host. So Gwen does not get that right. Embarrassed about paying off debt. Let's be clear. It was paying off debt. Embarrassed by. Mr. Len Pedzo's in first, which means OG goes second. Paul, you are up, my friend.
First of all, I think that she should get a practice round gimme, because I wasn't really sure of what the topic is, but I think I know now. So these are top 10 most embarrassing things that happen around finances.
Top 10 most embarrassing such as money topics.
Bouncing a check.
Ah, is bouncing a check on this list?
What?
That's embarrassing.
And it's actually debt because of overspending that we're going to give you that one for. Oh. Yes, debt because you overspent. People,
yeah, that's not bouncing a check, though.
But you did. You overspent from your account. You bounced a check.
All right, I'll take it. I'll take it.
How about the overdraft protection, too? Overdraft protection is great, because I don't think Paul is protecting you. It might be just protecting the bank.
It's a line of revenue for the bank. That's for damn sure.
$40 it was for overdraft protection. And I remember back when I was horrible with money, and just you go to the store, you go 3 times, and you've got the overdraft protection, and you get home and you realize you paid $120 in fees so that you were protected.
Yeah, right. That doesn't feel like protection, yeah, does it?
From the embarrassment of somebody I don't know and will never see again at Target worrying about me. So, not great. Nice job.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
It's the overdraft protection is the equivalent of Blockbuster's rewind fees.
It totally is. It absolutely is.
For everybody under 40, there used to be this place called Blockbuster, whence you would procure your date night VHS, and you would never return it with it rewound fully, and they charge you like $4.
When we were,
are you still speaking English? Because those words sound like English, but I have no idea what they mean.
Well, it's Middle English, actually. It's Chaucer.
going way back.
You go in there, they say, "Thou hast not rewound thy tablet."
I remember when we were moving back to Detroit, I was packing up my stuff, and I found a Blockbuster VHS that nice. I hadn't ever taken back.
I you get Netflix it. Equity if you take it into the right place.
It wasn't even anything good. I don't even remember what it was. All right. Paul/OG gets a point. Bob, how about you on this list? 10 embarrassing money topics. We got 9 of them left.
I would say having credit card declined after making a purchase.
Is credit card decline on the list? And it's broader than that. Again, we're giving you the another much more broad one. It's just credit cards in general. Like people apparently are embarrassed to talk about their credit cards. Do you think, Bob, that it's the fact that we see people like the points guy and these people that are credit card ninjas now, and we all kind of realize that we're not?
I think it's, for me, I think a lot of my clients are embarrassed that they've got $50,000 worth of credit cards. Like if they've got a lot of credit cards, they've got a lot of credit card debt.
Yeah.
Because if you got 10 or 15 cards, they all got balances.
Well, I don't know. Some of these people that are credit card hackers, you'll find people with 25, 30 credit cards because they're spending all these reward points.
Yeah. They're spending too much time. Get a life. You can't even take the vacation with all the points because you're so busy managing the points.
You got the spreadsheet for your spreadsheet. Yeah. To be able to do that. Do you play the points game, Bob?
I don't.
You don't at all?
No, I do. I have American Express and I put everything on that, but I don't, like, that's all I use.
Yeah. You're not going
on American Express. And pay it down.
You're not wheeling, dealing cards. Gwen, how about you?
I have a few, but I have definitely stepped it back.
How come?
It's just really annoying to have to like keep track of all the fees and all the points and what goes where and what category is this quarter and can I use this card on this restaurant or this card on gas? Yeah, whatever.
You know, I was talking to somebody a couple months ago and they actually put color coding on their cards. They put little stickers on their card. So like a restaurant was red and that was their restaurant card. Airlines were blue. They had a different card that matched each one. So they had this system with the 5 different cards they use. Paul's looking at me like that's just nuts.
It seems a little crazy, doesn't it?
It does seem crazy. But if I can get 5X points for using the right card.
I suppose so. But if like over like a $12 Panera grilled cheese, I mean, I guess that adds up over time. But
that bread bowl soup.
Yes.
Yes. 5X on the bread bowl soup. All right. At the end of one, what is the score? Gwen came close, and I feel bad, Gwen, but there were so many that had, there was more than one on here that had debt, so I couldn't give you paying it off because that was a positive thing. But we did widen it for Paul and for Bob.
Gwen, don't be positive next round.
Rip off.
The good news is, Gwen, you get to hear their answers second. We're going to go in reverse order now because the score, Bob/Len have won, Paul/OG has won. Gwen and Paula has 0. But you know what? This second round, we're playing for 2 points.
Oh.
Yes. Nice. Gwen might be able to move into the lead, but we'll find out that later. Bob, your move, my friend. What's another one on this list?
I think it's going to be when you have to ask somebody who you've loaned money to pay it back because they're late.
Is it talking to somebody that you've loaned money to about their payments? Is that on the list?
Oh yeah.
And in their words, loaning money to friends and family, period. And I remember in our family, people loaning money back and forth and some of the awkward family dinners. I remember heck back in the early 90s when I was a disaster with money and going to Thanksgiving and not wanting to look certain family members in the eye. Luckily, I was in a kind family. Paul, have you loaned money to a family member?
Yeah, I have, and to some friends, and I've been very, very gratified when some of those people have paid me back.
So you don't expect them to pay you back?
No, I do.
You do expect them?
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned. I've been down this road though. This is not a game I'm going to play anymore, because it's always somebody who's like, you loan somebody money and then unintentionally you become a participant in their financial life, and you're like, you start to go, really, you bought a jet ski? That sounds great.
They bought a jet ski when they owed you money.
I'm just using an exaggeration. Well, no, it's fun.
This happened. I can't remember who told this story, but somebody, a family member, owed these people money. And went and bought a jet ski when they owed them $5,000.
I know. Well, it's you know, you don't want to have anything else to worry about in your life. And so, I don't know. It's just better policy to not get involved.
You know, Paula Pant is somebody from Afford Anything, is somebody that I really want to borrow money from, because she says when she gives people money, she doesn't even think about it anymore. She thinks...
What's her number?
She thinks the money's gone.
I'm good for it, Paula.
Bob, you're a CFO of a company. Have you loan family members money?
I have. It did not work out well. If I lend people money now, I don't expect to get paid back. So I have to look at it as a sunk cost.
You do. Well, maybe we borrow money from Bob. Forget Paula.
There you go.
but I have high standards.
Oh, are you saying really we can't get in? Are you saying we won't be able to fill out the app, like the application?
Be a sad story.
Yes,
got to be sad.
Bob charges 26% interest. I'm sure it's the family gives
the preferred. Yeah, you paid back the principal, but what about the VIG?
It's right. It's
and let's note that we're talking about, you know, the actual Paula, not this Paula, because my Paula rules are a little different.
What are your rules, Gwen?
Well, my family grew up, if you borrowed money, you signed a contract to pay back the interest.
Oh, nice. You did attach interest.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much interest did you charge a family member? What was the preferred rate?
It was usually something small, like 1 or 2%. Just enough to know that, like, we really expected it to be paid back.
And did you get paid back?
Oh, yeah. Every time.
You did. Wow.
But now, as my financial situation has changed, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, can you lend me money? I'm not going to make them sign a contract for interest or whatever. I will give the money to them. And if they can pay me back later, awesome. But I do not expect to be paid back.
Yeah. Yeah. But you do, but you don't tell them that.
But I don't tell them that because I want them to pay me back, but absolutely, it's money. I never give more money than I can spare.
Well, here's the deal. Bob just took the lead with 3. Paul, if you want to keep pace, you got to get this one.
Low credit score.
Is
good, good.
Low credit score on our list of most embarrassing topics. Yeah, they say a weak credit score. And, you know, back when I was a disaster with money, I remember a friend telling me, Paul, because my car was going bad. And he said, no, these car companies give loans to everybody.
Right.
They give loans to everybody. So you're fine. So I walk into this car dealership and I turned out to be the guy.
And you're like, but that's a great batting average. 350. That gets me in the Hall of Fame.
It's incredible.
What was Rod Carew's batting average? That's
350 is amazing. Yeah, not good. Anybody else suffer with bad credit earlier? Bob, did you ever have bad credit?
Yes, I did. It was unpleasant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was never horrible, horrible, but it was, you know, mediocre when I was trying to just do comedy, because it pays so much. Most of my dreams were on credit cards.
Paul, you know that very personally, I think.
Chicken wings are not an asset. They depreciate very quickly.
Is that how you guys, Bob, at the Comedy Store try to pay the talent is in chicken wings?
We do.
Yes.
Well, I got a contract, a gig book. The confirmation they sent me, they said, I'm not going to say where, because I sadly want to go back. And it said, benefits in addition to your pay include a hotel room and free water.
Free water
and soda. But water is funnier than free water and soda. And I was like, wow. Free water.
All the water I could drink.
Boy, I'm going to be hydrated that weekend.
It's amazing.
Sweet.
And you bring along a bunch of plastic bottles to make sure you get your money's worth?
That, yeah. They probably try to charge you for anything you take away.
I've heard, by the way, about some of these comedy rooms that comedy clubs will keep where they put up the, quote, talent, and about how awful these apartments are that they
comedy have. Comedy condos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring your anti-itch medication.
Not great places.
Hydrocortisone is what the word I was looking for.
Is that because of the, you know, bed bugs?
Absolutely. And probably a whole lot of other gross things on the walls with a black light.
Bob, did you ever go on tour doing comedy?
I did.
Yeah.
There were some really sad places. It makes you really consider life.
I've heard these stories about comedy clubs and managers that won't pay if you don't finish your set. So, you know, there's the famous Bill Burr.
Thanks.
You
mean the former attorney general?
Right. Comedy run.
Oh, he was hilarious. Oh, he was the attorney general.
Yeah, Bill Burr.
I thought that was comedy.
What about Bill Burr?
Bill Burr very famously was not going to get paid unless he finished this set that was outdoors. It was some radio station thing, but it was broad daylight and people started throwing stuff at him.
Oh, that was the show in Philadelphia, and he went off on the crowd. It's one of the funniest viral videos you can see, and a comedian at his height refusing to back down from an ugly crowd. It's fantastic.
Which is also, I've heard, incredibly dangerous. Like, do not go against the crowd.
Not with that. What's the name of the morning show he was on? I've been on that guy's satellite show now. Anyway, it was very rowdy crowd, very rowdy radio show, and they were throwing stuff, and he was like, I will be selling my CD after the show. he was fantastic.
That is so positive. Good. Yeah, and for everybody listening that doesn't know, he was counting it down.
Yeah,
he would tell a joke and he'd go, four more minutes.
Yeah, because there's a clock in front. They had, you know, it's a showcase show, so there were like 10 comics on, and every comic had whatever, you know, like 18 minutes or whatever your set time is, and he could see the clock ticking down.
Gwen, no pressure, but Bob has three and Paul has three to really have a big shot at winning. This is the one.
All right. I think I'm ready.
All right. What do you got?
How about, since I have re-entered the dating market now, how about talking about money with your significant other?
Ooh, is it embarrassing to talk money with your significant other? Which is pretty wild, Gwen. I mean, on a lot of levels, it shouldn't be embarrassing, should it?
So I just have to think from like a normal person's standpoint, because I am super abnormal and we'll talk about, you know, everything with anybody about money. So I'm just like thinking about, oh, yeah, you know, I've definitely dated guys who were reluctant to talk about money.
Yeah. And why do you think? You think it was because they were bad with money?
Or I earned more.
Oh. That ended up being the case?
Several times.
Yeah.
Those didn't last very long.
Oh, man.
So do you mean that the guys got uncomfortable and didn't want to date you because you made more than them?
Play that cheering sound, because you're exactly right.
Sounds like she dated a lot of comedians.
Comedians would have stuck around for the free meals.
Yeah.
Hey, but
I have so many funny stories from dating, let me tell you.
They could have brought home all the water they wanted, though, Gwen. You could have made the money. They brought home the water.
I have fountains of free water.
All right. The score, Bob/Len has... Oh, I forgot my music. Come on, Joe. That's what I like about doing the show live. Bob/Len has three. Paul/OG has three. Gwen/Paula stays in the game with two. We're going to have the exciting third round here in just a moment. But this week it's kind of meta. We got another game we got to play. We got a break for our trivia, and then we'll do the third round. And our normal trivia game is where we ask our contestants a question every Friday that, well, there's probably no way they know the answer to the question. So the person who is closest is going to take home another point. It's a 2-point day for Len and OG and Paula, and none of them are on the show because it's April Fool's Day. But you know who is here? Doug, you're here and you've got some trivia for us. Let's go.
there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Today, we're talking about lightning up. But what about when lightning lights fire to your house? It happens more than you'd think. In fact, I tried to convince my insurance company it happened to my back porch, but they were all like, sir, we found barbecue sauce at the scene. So, fine. It was more like a stream of lighter fluid than a flash of lightning. Potato, potato! Total ripoff. Anyway, my question today is, what's the total amount of money insurance pays out annually for damage resulting from lightning strikes? And for this, we're using data from 2018. I'll be back with the answer right after I attach this metal rod to that car I've been wanting to replace.
I'm sure they won't catch on to that either. There's no way. Oh, why do you have all this metal attached to this car? I don't know. All right. We've got our three contestants. And the good news here, Gwen, is that on the game show, you got to go first because of the fact that you were in third place. But in the trivia question, you get to go last and hear what these guys do. Unfortunately for you, Bob, that means that that actually means that you get to go first here.
All right. I'm gonna go with 25 million.
25.
Wow. Like, no idea.
You put a lot of thought into that, did you?
Well, you know what? Last time I way underestimated, and so I'm gonna go big.
$25 million is Bob's number. And OG / Paul. What do you think?
Is this in the United States, North America, or globally?
United States.
Yes, it's in the U.S.
All right. And what's the speed of light again? I'm approaching this like a consulting interview. I'm trying to make up for that McKinsey interview in 1997. I'm going to say 750 million.
Wow. Bob is at 25 million. You think it's way higher.
If I was going third, it would be 25 million and $1. My Price is Right strategy.
So you're creating a big old field goal for Gwen.
Gwen's got to pick a path.
Pick something. All right, Gwen, you got Bob on one side with 25 million. Paul's on the other with 750.
You know, I don't think this is a fair fight for them.
Why is it?
Uh-oh. This is her specialty?
She's one of Ben Franklin's great-great-great-granddaughters.
No, Gwen's like...
actuarial in her other career.
That's right.
Gwen's like, no, it's not a fair fight because I got the Googler up.
Actually, it's not a fair fight because my house has been hit by lightning before.
Really?
Yep. When I was about 12 or 13, all of a sudden there was a blue ball of light in the middle of every room and it fried our VCR. My alarm clock and my stepdad's gaming computer joystick.
Oh,
his Pong machine?
No, he was a flight sim.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I have firsthand experience with this actual event. So I'm going to, neatly split the difference here. And I'm going to say $350 million.
She's going right in the middle. You're not going to Chelsea Brennan either one of them.
That's right.
Taking it through the uprights.
I like that strategy.
All right. We got $350 million, $750 million for Paul, and Bob's got $25 million. We'd love to tell you who's right, but we don't play that way. We'll be right back.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Bob, you kicked this off with $25 million, and it appears that our other two contestants think you might be a little shy.
I think so. Again, underestimating.
And Paul, $750 million. How are you feeling about that one?
Well, I mean, I suppose it depends on how you define lightning damage, right? So is it just to homes? Or, I mean, if a lightning strike causes a forest fire, you're looking at billions of dollars worth of damage. So
how much did it pay out to homeowners was the question.
I don't think it was phrased that way.
Doug, did you phrase it that way?
Let's read that question back.
The question again is, what's the total amount of money insurance pays out annually for damage resulting from lightning strikes?
Right. So, okay. So that could be interpreted broadly.
I think that's a stretch, though.
No, it's not. If a lightning strike causes a forest fire, that's how much are forest fires? How much damage have it caused in California? Like trillions of dollars.
Your house is because it burned down because of a forest fire, not because it was started by lightning.
But the ultimate, I mean, unless you want to go back to God in creation, the lightning was the original source of the fire.
Have you worked at an insurance company before? Because that's exactly what they do.
Anyway.
They do. They call it an act of God. You're right.
An act of God. An act of
God. Yes.
Anyway, I have a feeling, never mind. You've heard my piece.
You have a feeling.
Move on.
What are you saying? You think you're too high, don't you?
No, I don't. We'll see. If it's just homeowner
county, mine was per county.
Per county. So that was just Ventura county, Bob.
That's right.
Multiplied that by 99 for Iowa alone.
Yeah.
Well, I love the fighting guys.
We're all way off, I'm sure.
But you know what? Somebody has an answer, and it's not me. I think it's Mom's neighbor Doug.
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Lightning strikes somewhere on Earth about 100 times a second. Nearly the same number of times Joe brags about his latest vacation. In 2018, the Insurance Information Institute paid out to almost 78,000 policyholders around the U.S. to cover damage. Lightning can start fires, fell trees, and ruin your day in a variety of expensive ways. Some tips to avoid damage include checking your smoke detectors and fire extinguishers in case of a fire, use surge protectors for your most valuable appliances and electronics like joysticks, and don't play golf when it looks like a strobe light rave outside. As many homeowners have found out, those precautions aren't always enough. So how much did insurance companies pay out to homeowners for this kind of damage in 2018? $909 million. That means Paul is our winner.
You're welcome, OG. You are welcome.
Son of a gun. I'm sorry, Paula.
Doggone it.
Yep. If it was per county, you might have been closer there, Bob.
I misunderstood.
A simple misunderstanding.
I got totally both showcases, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going home with the above ground pool.
the
new Amana dryer.
That's good.
On the other hand, you can earn money from lightning strikes, like I did when I caught a video of a lightning strike across the street last year and got paid $120 for it.
How'd you get paid for that?
One of the viral video companies bought it, the rights.
But what do you do? Did you market it to them? Did they just come and knock on your door? They call you?
They DM'd me on Twitter. I put it on Twitter and they saw it and they said, wow, this looks really cool. We want to own the rights. And apparently some people have used it and they paid me €100. So it was, you know, not quite $120, but close.
You wonder how much money they made off that.
Yeah.
At least I do.
I don't actually. It would make me sick. I'm happy with my $120.
Yeah. $120 for a picture that you really, that I would think got lucky because man, you're clicking the button right at the perfect time.
Yeah, I was taking a video, and so that was actually a still from the video. But
you said that.
Yeah. I got a good shot of it, and then I fell off the windowsill, so it was all good.
So it paid for the back injury.
No, that's like half of a chiropractic visit nowadays.
That's half, right? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Inflation just the past few weeks, it might be even less than that. Hey, we're going to our final round of today's furious competition between Gwen Merz, the fiery millennial, Bob Wheeler from Money You Should Ask.
Absolutely.
And Paul Olinger from Crazy Money here rounding out our April Fool's Day episode. And we're doing the top 10 money topics that we get embarrassed about. And so this is the money round. It's 3 points now. So everybody's in the game. By the way, third round brought to you by Magnify Money. Mr. Olinger, you know what happens when you go to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money?
I bet you magnify your money.
It is amazing that you do that, because 92% of the products that are out there, all your banking products, head to head, they look at them at Magnify Money, stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. So savings accounts, checking accounts, CDs, all ranked head to head at Magnify Money. Those brick and mortar things you're using, probably not best in class. So go check them out. All right. This big third round, Gwen, you get to go first. So here is no pressure, but if you're staying in the competition, you need these 3 points, girlfriend.
Okay. The pressure's getting to me. All right. Sweating nervously. My palms are all tacky.
Breathe.
How about somebody gave you bad advice on how to invest your money and you got burned big time? So bad money advice you're embarrassed about.
Is bad money advice on here?
Ooh.
I'm actually widening it here for you, Gwen, like I widened it for Bob and Paul earlier, because it was actually going into debt because of bad money advice. You got bad enough advice that you went into debt, but I think nobody likes to tell people that I went to a financial pro or I went to somebody and I got some horrible advice. You always want to talk about how great your people are around you than that.
I'm sure investing in a racehorse is a great idea.
Well, the bad news is, are you familiar with how that works? We have a guy, Derek, in the basement, our Facebook group, who actually raises racehorses, and was talking about how you have to buy these things or a share of them when they're very, very young, like incredibly young. So the chance of you making money is so small. Neat, huh?
Neat.
Wow. Good story, Joe. Let's move on.
I'd invest in the legs.
Right. So Gwen has 5. That puts her in the lead, which means, Paul, to take the lead away from her, you got to get this one.
All right. Now, I'm sure there's a joke to be made about getting a reverse mortgage from Joe Namath. I'm sure there's a joke here, but I don't have it. I'm going to say talking to your kids about money.
Good.
Is talking to your kids about money on this list? Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, man. You got to upgrade your gong.
I don't.
I have it on my Roadcaster. We should plug my Roadcaster in.
I don't have it. Yeah, we have two Roadcasters.
Just so I feel totally bad.
Here it is. Hold on, I got it.
Exactly. There you go.
Now we got it. I just had to shift over one set there.
Oh my gosh, you've got it all set.
Check that out. But teaching your kids. Do you get uncomfortable talking to your kids about money?
I think. Not at all, but I think that it could potentially be very embarrassing, especially if you're an older adult. Now, we talked about borrowing money within a family, but I think it could be, you know, potentially embarrassing talking to your kids saying you don't have enough money for retirement.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing. When I've talked to people that are experts in this area, they always caution adults that you don't have to be a money expert. You don't want to scare your kids, but you can share with them some of your not so good money habits so that they can learn from those too.
Yeah. But most people with bad money habits don't talk about their bad money habits. They're not even aware of their bad money habits
or how bad they are. They might think they're kind of bad, but they don't look at it. Bob, in your family growing up, did you guys talk about money?
Mostly about what we didn't have, but,
yeah,
no, we did not talk about money. My parents did not. They pretended.
Not at all. Yeah. Gwen, how about in your family?
To a point, they taught me how to be responsible with money, but they didn't really share any of their particular details.
Well, so here's what we got. We've got, Paul and OG not going home with the double header.
Ooh.
You won the trivia.
I did.
But not going to win this one. Is it Gwen / Paula or Bob / Len? Bob, for all the marbles.
God, I've narrowed it down to 2, and I'm going to go with, I hope it's right, bankruptcy.
Oh, that's a good one. Dang it.
Is bankruptcy on this list?
Sweet.
They didn't call it bankruptcy.
Oh, wow. Wow. How far are you going to widen these categories, Joe? It's like a four-lane expressway.
It is chronically spending well above your means, which I think leads to bankruptcy. And yeah, the others on this list, by the way, the burden of student loans. Nobody said student loans.
Oh, no student loans. What about asking for a raise?
Asking for a raise isn't on here, but not knowing how to save. Just not knowing the basics of saving is on you. That one's kind of lame. I agree. Paul just made a face. Mm. I kind of agree with that one.
I mean, I agree with that one because there's a lot of people in the money groups who are like, don't judge me, but I don't know anything. Help me.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And then on that note, by the way, talking about investing, another one on investing, the last one on here, managing a 401k. People are embarrassed because they don't know how to manage their 401k.
Interesting.
But the sad thing is, you know, I mean, we're here. It's April Fool's, guys. You guys all are either people I think are really funny or people that do comedy professionally. But these things that we're really embarrassed about, let's talk about this for a second. I look at this list and it seems to me, Bob, I'm going to start with you, that if we just kind of learn to laugh about this and not take ourselves so seriously, we might actually loosen up a little bit and get more done.
Totally agree. That's... We got to have more conversations about money. And it's, I mean, you don't have to laugh at the other people, but you need to be able to laugh at yourself.
And there is a big difference, Gwen, between laughing at, you know, these guys that don't make as much as you and laughing
and
with them.
Shaming them. Yes.
Listen, I would never shame anybody who earns less than me, but I will laugh at you later with friends if that's why you don't want to date me.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to say, but I will break up with you.
Yeah. I will judge you.
But that will be. Well, and really, you don't judge people based on that, Gwen, do you?
I don't. No.
No, not at all. I've known you long enough to know that that is not a thing for you. Paul, how about you?
Well, it seems to me like in society today that we're becoming more open to having discussions around things like our mental health, right? So vulnerability and becoming accepting of people's differences is more in vogue than ever. And yet I don't see that happening around money problems still. It's not okay to, you know, like share that with a friend on a whim.
You guys are all people that are very open about money. Do you find that your friends think it's weird? Paul, do people think it's weird that you're open about money and money discussions?
When I first started the podcast, people were like, I don't know, you know, talking about money on the pod. And the one person in particular who's very affluent said that about coming on the show. And then he came on the show and we had a great conversation about how he was brought up and about how his values of his parents and his middle class background informs how he feels about his affluence today. And it was a great conversation.
I found that going around the country with million stories, doing these, interviewing one person I don't know in every city. And everybody, when we first sit down, seems so rigid and they're a little bit scared. You know, they do it, which I think is very courageous. But we, every time so far, we've had fantastic conversations once we just break that ice.
I think people want to talk about it. I think people want to share their stories. I think people, when they start talking, go, oh yeah, well, I feel like this because I see what my parents did and how that informs where I'm coming from today.
Why do you think they do, Bob?
Well, I think because we've been keeping it hidden for so long and trying to present for so long, it's exhausting. And I think people are just relieved that other people are saying, it's okay. I mean, I'll sometimes give a talk and 10 people follow me to the parking lot to each tell me their story because somebody that's not going to judge them, somebody that can relate. And I just think people are tired of presenting that they have this amazing life when in reality, they're embarrassed. Even if they do, they think they don't.
That's what I feel like social media really makes it worse. You know, these pretty pictures on Instagram and we feel like we have to keep up.
After I gave my last talk, 10 people followed me to the parking lot because they wanted to kick my ass. It was... Well, like, you're a jerk.
Gwen, friends think you're weird because you like to talk about money?
Well, okay, my friends think I'm weird for a lot of different reasons, but
I'm your friend. I think you're weird, which is awesome.
Yeah. That's because we're kindred souls. My friends don't think I'm weird anymore because I consistently do it, and I am the money friend in basically all of my friend groups, and they know that they can come to me and be like, hey, I'm thinking about taking half of my 401k out and giving it to a management company. What do you think? So I'm kind of, you know, the person that they go to. They don't have to follow strangers into a parking lot and a little tale about their money.
I'm just going to start hanging out in parking lots and hope money experts come along.
Doug, I felt like we weren't strangers by the time we got to the parking lot. I didn't feel so strange.
Doug, you know, what's funny is, you know, tangentially, you talk about money. I mean, you contribute to the show. Do you find that, what do people say about you being on a money podcast?
I'm sorry. I'm stuck on the part where you said I contribute to the show. Can you say that? What did you say after that? I didn't really hear anything. I got all buzzy and dizzy.
Just hanging out with people, and you do a money podcast.
Not that often, a little bit. It's still largely a taboo subject, right? I mean, people don't want to talk about their earnings that much because they're worried that either they're going to be sound like they're bragging or, man, I don't measure up like I thought I did. But I will say we talked about it and still do quite a bit in our home and in our house with our kids. And especially now as they're starting to kind of go off on their own and be young adults with incomes and, you know, and helping them set up budgets and understanding how to contribute to their 401ks and some of those fundamental things. I mean, they were getting their own Roths in late high school. And so I was pretty excited about that. And that wasn't anything that my family talked about growing up. So definitely talking about it in the family. So.
No, it's really good. I know both of your kids well, and they're very good with money. And I think the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So
thanks to you, Joe.
Could say this. It's totally my fault. Sure. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for today. Let's find out what all of you amazing people are doing where you live and work. Gwen, people can hang out with you on Twitter. You're a fiery millennial, always having some fun conversations. But what else are you working on? You do anything else in the financial arena right now?
You know, I'm still writing on my blog at fierymillennials.com appearing on my friend's podcasts and just generally keeping an eye out on things in the finance world.
Well, and I'm so happy you're hanging out with us today. It was a great time. Bob, thanks so much for coming back on again, my friend.
Absolutely. Total pleasure.
You were grossly low again, though, on your trivia.
I'm going to start adding like 200% to any of my numbers. I'm going to multiply it.
Yes. So what's happening in your podcast? Tell me about some guests coming up. What's going on?
Let's see. Well, we actually have a cool couple, a dad and son called John's Crazy Socks that's coming out. celebration of World Down Syndrome Day. They actually started a crazy sock company together. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
We have so many guests, and you know, after I meet them, I completely forget their names. I'm like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. What? We talked last week. No, I love
really I have the same problem with my, all of my dates.
No, we got a lot of great shows, and I'm also working on a children's series on financial literacy that's coming out in October.
And that's they'll find that at the Money Nerd, right? The Money Nerve.
Find that at the Money Nerve.
At the Money Nerve. MoneyNerve.com. And
I'm a nerd and I get on people's nerves.
So. And the Money You Should Ask podcast, wherever finer podcasts are. Speaking of finer podcasts, Mr. Olinger, not only thanks for being on, but as I'm on tour, thanks for putting me up at the Olinger compound.
It was a good incentive to clean up my office/guest room over the garage. So I'm glad you're here.
The having friends put me up. It's
nice to see people in person again. You and I had lunch in Detroit two and a half years ago.
We did. You and
is this the second time we've met in person?
Isn't that weird?
It's crazy.
It does not feel like that.
I know. Wow.
What's happened at the Crazy Money Podcast?
Well, since it's April 1st, 2022, we've just had you on last week.
Oh, I was brilliant.
You were funny. We were definitely not doing that conversation tomorrow morning in my basement.
Yeah, it happened
in the past. I had 2 weeks ago, I had Jacob Goldstein, the former host of Planet Money, and he's got a new podcast out called What's Your Problem from Pushkin. And next week, I've got Chip Conley, who's the author of a book called Wisdom at Work, talking about how to become a modern elder.
a modern elder.
Gwen's got a little bit of time to prepare before she becomes a modern elder. It's about career shifting, purpose shifting at middle age.
I think Gwen's a long way from middle age.
That's what I'm saying. She's got time to prepare.
Absolutely. And you will find that at the Crazy Money Podcast.
Crazy Money Podcast on all the podcast apps. Paul Olinger, OllingeR.
Well, that's going to do it for today, everybody. We'll see you back here on Monday, stacking more Benjamins. But Doug, you got it from here, my friend. What should we have learned today?
Well, Joe, first, you should never be embarrassed to talk about anything regarding your finances. Unless, you know, it's about that one thing you accidentally put on the company credit card. For the third time, OG, it was an accident. Second, if you see blue balls of light in every room in your house, that's not God talking to you. You're either a sophomore at the prom or you've just been struck by lightning. But the big lesson, lightning definitely seems like it could strike twice if it's costing almost $1 billion a year. That's why I live my life in a basement. Thanks to Gwen Merz. Find out more about her work at fierymillennials.com. Thanks to Bob Wheeler. You can hear him on Money You Should Ask wherever finer podcasts are found. You know, I love that phrase, finer podcast. Is there a place where the tawdry, seedy podcasts are found? Gotta go research that. Thanks to Paul Olinger. His podcast, Crazy Money, is available wherever you're listening to us right now. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2022, and is written in part by Paulette Perhatch, who helps writers power their words, their work, and their earning potential with her Powerhouse Writers Coaching Program. Find out more at powerhousewriters.com. Thanks also to our team who made today possible. Karen Repine is our producer, Tina Eichenberg and Gertrude Smith are our social media mavens, and Brooke Miller handles the show notes and our amazing newsletter, The 201. Not only should you not take advice from these dorks, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. That's it for today. We'll see you back here on Monday on Stacking Benjamins.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show that doesn't exist. What happens in the after show stays in the after show, guys. And, you know, we've all done some embarrassing things with credit cards. And while we were paused there, Paul looked at me and said he may or may not have a story about a company credit card.
It's so embarrassing. When Doug said that, it just brought back a horrific memory.
Let's do it.
Uh-oh. So I'm 25 years old. And I work at a college. I'm not going to say which one, but I might have gone there. And I was working in the development office, and I had a college credit card. And I had no money, and all my personal credit cards were maxed out. And there was this girl who happened to be from a very wealthy family who I was dying to take out. And I didn't have enough money to I didn't have enough money to pay for an omelet, I swear. So I wanted to take her to brunch, and it was like $14 because this was like 1994.
Wait a minute. You're a student with...
No, I was working at the college. You were
working at the college.
Yeah. And okay. So I used the college credit card to pay for brunch. And when the bill, I had to turn it over with the stripe up so that she didn't see the name of the college on the credit card to realize how broke, how desperately broke I was. Or that she, and her family was affiliated with the college, like big benefactors. So she might have thought that I was like expensing her or trying to woo her. It was horrible. It was horrible. Almost as embarrassing as the Argyle socks I wore on my date. But that's a whole other story.
It's a whole different story.
Anyway,
speaking of socks, I am wearing some socks now because I have 2 days left in this before I can do laundry.
I'll let you do laundry here.
Check out these socks. These are socks that somebody sent me as a thank you for being on the fantastic. Show. They're pictures of my face.
I love them.
Wow.
I have pictures of my face in socks, Bob.
I just thought they were old shrimp. I didn't know what it was.
Easy. No. Bob, you don't have socks of your face.
I don't.
No. Yeah. Bad news using a company credit card or getting in trouble with a credit card.
Oh, by the way, I did pay that bill out of my pocket. I didn't sure. expense her. I just
no, and I know exactly what you did.
It was a cash flow issue.
I know what you did, Allinger. You went to the college on Monday and went, I really screwed up.
I used the wrong card.
I accidentally gave him the wrong card.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question, Joe. What's your most embarrassing money story?
Oh, well, you know, mine I've told 100 times about because it's so embarrassing. But it's just, you know, in college that I got into credit card debt. Here's one that was really embarrassing that I haven't told 100 times, which is I took some clients. This is when I was doing much better with money. So I've got my act together. I've got some great clients. I take them to dinner. Whenever people had these milestones, we'd celebrate where I would take them out. And I take them out and I did not realize that my dad had somebody bounce a check to him and I had used that money in my account. I had left my credit card at the office I was in a hurry. So all I have is my debit card and I have no idea that my account's overdrawn. So I'm sitting with these clients that have millions of dollars with me and the waiter comes up in front of us and goes, sir, your card was declined.
Oh God!
Nothing better than get financial advice from a dude with a declined credit card.
Oh my God.
And I have no idea what's going on. So I have to ask my clients to pay for my dinner and I'll pay them back.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? I think you win, Joe. That's way more embarrassing than mine.
Do you have one? You want to go or are we done?
I do. Yeah. No, I will tell this embarrassing tale. This involves dating again, because apparently I'm one track mind, but I was making plans to go see this guy and he was like, hey, why don't you bring, you know, some stuff to make things a little easier for both of us? And so I was like, sure, what kind do you want? So he sent me a link to the particular, what do they call it?
Dispensaries.
I don't know. Anyway, it was lube.
Lube.
I was buying lube.
We're all trying to say lube. Just saying.
So
personal lubrication.
But I didn't get the link in time. So in order to get the exact kind that he wanted, I had to pay for overnight like air shipping for $60 for this like $10 bottle of lube.
Wow. Somebody got the shaft.
Sorry. It's called Astroglide. You can get it wherever. Fine. Cosmetics.
But this like doubled as a massage oil. Uh-huh. And it was like very nice.
Yeah. And it's fancy. A great dessert.
Yeah. Smelled like peaches. It was wonderful. We had a great time.
It's a floor wax and a dessert topping.
Wow.
Joe, this just became expensive. The greatest aperture we've ever had.
Hair removal. Wow.
I don't think we can beat that. And I'm sorry that we've got to wrap it up because Paul's got to get his kid to baseball. So
speaking of lube, always a great idea.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of today's episode. But one thing that we talked about a little bit today, but we talk about a lot, is you got to have good partners on your team, Stackers. And you know what? Navy Federal Credit Union could be that partner, because becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. And aren't those two of the big tenets, right? Have a debt strategy, earn more, save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you can start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. I think that's the coolest certificate. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project, maybe you want to consolidate debt. Well, as you're putting your plan together, you want to also have a debt strategy, right? You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing cost, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Don't get in over your head with debt. make sure you have a great strategy, and then take out debt as you need it. And Navy Federal's options certainly give you the flexibility to help you make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, equal housing lender, membership required, terms and conditions apply, loan subject to approval.